Jesus Christ said something very powerful to us, and that is, with God, all things are possible. And you know, it's not recorded just once in the Gospels. It's recorded multiple times. I don't know how many. I didn't choose to count it, but I know of at least three places where it says, with God, all things are possible. And you know, there's something very amazing about God and the things that God wants to do in the way that we, in relationship with God, the way we accept our relationship, the way we walk, that makes things possible with Him. And it is by this one little word that we use to describe it. It's called faith. 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 Believing. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who asks and believes he shall receive, shall receive. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. The power of faith. But you know, faith sometimes gets to be this word that almost seems ethereal to people. It's like, how do you apply faith? I think I believe, but maybe I don't. I have doubt. I don't know. How do we apply this faith? How do we practice faith? How do we practice a faith in God that makes all things possible? That seems like a pretty big topic, but we're going to tackle this one today. The faith that moves mountains. The faith that changes lives. The faith that brings about the power of God. We have a book here of 31,000 verses that talks about faith in God. It declares to us who God is, what God's done, what He's capable of, what He will do, and what He thinks about you, and what He wants you to be thinking about yourself. And all of these things are to generate a relationship of faith where you can answer the three questions of God that He wants you to answer positively. These three questions we keep coming back to. God, do you love me? God, can I trust you? God, are you committed to me? The three questions everybody asks of everybody else, right from Lou Holtz. Three questions that everybody asks. He said this is what you have to make a successful football team. I say it's what makes the family of God successful. That we can answer that of God, and we can answer it of each other. And it is really a question of faith, hope, and love. But what we're going to focus on today is faith. So let's begin. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And let's look at what God teaches us about this. Matthew chapter 14, we'll begin in verse 22. It says this. This was after the feeding of the 5,000. It says, immediately after Jesus made His disciples get into a boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when evening came, He was alone there. Sometimes we need to do that. To strengthen our faith, we need to go up on the mountain alone. Just you and God. To talk, to converse, to fellowship. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. And so He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All things are possible to him who believes. Peter walked on water. That's supposed to be impossible, right? All things are possible to him who believes. But notice what happened, verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him,
Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?
And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly You are the Son of God. Truly You are the Son of God. Now, what happened with Peter and what he went through, and I think the reason that God puts this in the Scripture for us is to consider that this is something we all have to go through. We all have to be willing at times in our life, by faith, to go before God. We all have to be willing to go and say, I got to get out of the boat. I got to take a step of faith. You realize that what Peter was saying was, God, give me the command to come. If You command it, I can come. If You say I can walk on the water, I can. See, Peter didn't say, well, I'm going to get out there too. No, he said, Jesus, You command it. And if I believe Your command, I'm going to be able to walk on the water too. Jesus was able to make that happen. Jesus commanded it. Peter believed it. And he went out on the water. I want you to get this, because there's two things that happen in this relationship. God commands. God has the authority to say. And then there must be belief. So when we're talking about how things happen, how all things are possible by faith, two things must occur. The command of God and the belief of the person in the command. Now what happened when Peter started to look at what he was doing? You know, try to picture in your mind for a minute. Anybody been near a stormy sea? I grew up near rivers and lakes and Lake Michigan. I've been up there several times when it was stormy. But, you know, on a big lake, when the wind starts to blow, the waves get pretty nasty. And they look very treacherous. It's not really something you'd want to be walking on. Don't think that he was asking him to walk on smooth water. You know, sometimes you see this portrayed and it's like smooth. No, it said that the wind was boisterous. It was stormy. It was choppy. It looked dangerous. It looked scary. So Peter gets out and he starts coming toward the Lord, and he's walking toward the Lord, and then he's like, what in the world am I doing? This is nuts. And he sees what's going on and he sinks. And he cries out for help, and there's Jesus. He says immediately, Jesus was right there to grab him. And what did Jesus say? He said, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You were doing it. You were walking to me. I gave the command. You had the faith. You were walking toward me. You were doing the impossible because you believed. What? Why did you doubt? Now in life, we see this brought out in ourselves, don't we? We have these challenges. We have these questions. If you're never stepping out in faith to do anything in life, if you never get out of the boat, if you're not looking for the command and saying, Jesus, command me to step out, how can God show what He wants to do? How can God demonstrate His power? You know, when you look at the miracles in the Bible, the biggies, you ever notice how there's this relationship of faith where, God, I come to You because I know You can, and I know You will. And the person has faith, and then God says, let me do My stuff. Let me show you what I can do. But the person has to say, Lord, command me. What am I to do? Where am I to go? Give me the command that I can have faith in. Give me the command that I can trust. Can I trust You? Now, I want you to notice something about this as well. Jesus gave the command to come, right? Jesus made the impossible possible for Peter to walk on the water, right? We all agree? Jesus said it. It was sure. It was done. It was true. But once doubt came in, Peter still sank. But God gave the command to walk on the water, but the doubt made Peter sink. Did Jesus doubt? Did Jesus take back the command? Or was it a lack of faith that caused Peter to sink? I want you to think about how powerful this is. I want you to think about this relationship that we have with the eternal God, the God who exists, the God who says that without faith it's impossible to please me, the God who says if you want to be doing these things, you must exercise faith. And yeah, I didn't calm the wind for it to be a smooth walk for you. But I did say, come. He didn't calm the storm, did he? He didn't make it an easy walk for Peter. The temptation for fear and doubt was all around him. It didn't go away. But Jesus said, come. And as he walked, looking to Christ, he was on the water. And when he looked at the waves and the danger, there he goes, sinking right in. That would be very scary, wouldn't it, to be in a stormy sea and now you're sinking down into it? I mean, when he cried out, you know, Peter, instead he cried out saying, Lord, save me! Help me! And notice how compassionate, how tender Jesus is. It says immediately he was right there to grab him. But what Jesus wants is this relationship of faith. The relationship of faith and belief. Now here's the thing. If we don't have faith and belief, God can give all the commands He wants, and they won't do anything in our lives. You get that? We can know every word of this book. We can know every command that God gives. But if we don't have faith in Him, it's not going to do anything. You get that? God can make it happen. He can give the command, but if we don't believe what He said, it doesn't do anything for us. Notice what it says here. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Actually, I'm going to skip that. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. The sermon is now in rewrite. That's the only way I like it. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. And in verse 13. For this reason, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Let that sink in. That's an awesome verse. You received the word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The power to change is in belief. The power to become different is in belief. The power to overcome sin is belief. The power to be healed is through belief. The power to do the impossible is through belief. You see, when God calls us out of this world, what He's really doing is He's calling us to a new set of beliefs based on the fact that He exists. Based on the fact that He loves us. Based on the fact that He's God. And we are called to be in His family forever. To be saved from sin and death. To be called His own child. To be accepted in the Beloved. To be made righteous. To be clean. To be made strengthened and strong. To have courage and faith that moves mountains. This is God's image of us. And God has given His Word to have it happen. But the Word of God, we can say it's truth, but if we don't believe it to the point where we get out of the boat and walk, it can't do its work in us. It just stops. You see, it's not God whose hand is short that it cannot save. It's our sin. Our sin of unbelief. Our sin of doubt. Our sin of fear that keeps us from moving on.
to accept the world the way it is. You know what Peter was really doing was he's saying, I'm accepting what is. I accept what I know. I can look as a man of reason and I can judge. I can't be walking on this stormy water. By all reason and all law of nature, he was right. He wasn't incorrect. What made it possible was his faith. You know, with Bronte, it's been the most awesome working to see what God has done through her, through all the sickness that she had. For weeks, 6 weeks, she didn't walk. For 6 weeks, she didn't stand by herself. For 6 weeks, all my little girl could do was crawl. But here's what happened. The church said, let's fast together, let's pray. Scott said, I'm willing to fast. I'm willing to lay down my life, my time for Bronte. And he said, let's have a fasting prayer chain. All right, let's do it. 7 days, fasting and praying. 7 days, asking you to come with us, beseech the Lord for her healing. The church comes together and lays hands on her. And we pray. We ask God in faith and belief with conviction that she will be healed. We finish praying. She continued to lay there. She didn't get up. I was expectant she would. I think Scott, you were expectant she would. Carolyn, Stephanie, we were expectant she would. Now what's interesting is that she couldn't, she didn't. But while we were fasting and praying for her, and then she had to go for the test during that week of fasting and prayer, she woke up the morning of the test and she said, I don't feel dizzy. It was the first time in well over a month she said, I just don't feel dizzy today. But we said, well, can you get up? No, but I don't feel dizzy. And she went to take the test. Well, you know, Ron Kemmerly, he's not here today, but he often sits right there in the back row. Ron is not overly charismatic. I don't think anybody would say that of Ron. Ron is an honorable, decent, good, God-fearing man. But Ron said he was sitting and he said he felt so overwhelmed by God that he had to come up and tell Bronte, you're healed, you just need to get up. Now, I don't think any of you would think that was something Ron would normally do. He told me after, he said, David, you know, I know she didn't like it, but I had to do it. I couldn't not do it. I had to. I felt so overwhelmed by the Spirit, I had to tell her that she was able to get up. But she did get irritated. She didn't like it. And I said, but you have to try. I can't. Will you try? No, I can't. Because you see, for weeks, every time she tried, it meant severe pain, severe dizziness, severe nausea. She just wanted to throw up. And you realize she went from a state of walking to a state of not being able to stand up in less than 48 hours. And every time she just tried to lift her head up off the pillow, she felt sick. It hurt. She said, oh, it just hurts so bad. And she'd been conditioned with the pain, and she got used to the pain, and she got used to the environment that her body had now taken over. And sometimes when pain is so strong, you're just like, okay, yield to the pain. This is the way it is. I can't do it. If I do it, it means pain. So I was talking to her, and I was saying, but honey, you, by faith, we have to try. Ron's not the kind of person that would say that God has healed you. You just need to get up. You just need to stand. He's not the person. And with tears and with crying, we couldn't do it. And she's like, Dad, you'll see when those test results come back. You'll see. You'll see, and you'll be sorry that you're asking me to do this. And you know what I was thinking? Oh, I'm a bad father. You know, if it does come back, I'm going to feel really bad. I'm asking my daughter to have faith and believe in something. And if the test results come back and she wasn't healed, then she's right and I'm an idiot. But you know, I talked to Ron the week after that, and he said, David, I'm convinced she's better. She just has to get up. That God's healed her. She just needs to believe it and now stand up. So we got the test results back. Guess what the test results say? Normal, 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 normal. The doctor is saying, I don't get it. I know that she had this. He gave her a more extensive test because they wanted to see how much damage was done. The doctor's saying, look, she had this. This is saying she doesn't. I don't know how I could be wrong, but she doesn't have. And then he said, well, maybe it was this or that. And he's like, but no, she never had these symptoms or that symptoms. And so he finally stops and he looks at her and says, Bronte, stand up. The doctor was convinced that she was better. He said, stand up. She said, I can't. And he asked her again, Bronte, stand up. She said, I can't. So we go home, and Stephanie took her, and we talked that night about what was going on with Bronte. And she said, the doctor was so sure, and he's, you know, this is all he does. He's like an expert in this field. He was so confident it was. He'd done the test. He had asked her the questions. He clearly diagnosed her. He gets all these official test results back. She has no more dizziness. She has no more problems with equilibrium and balance and all these things. What do we do? So Stephanie talked to her the next morning. And then I talked to her. And I just said, Bronte, look, Ron believes you are healed. He believes that it was from God, that you have the power right now to stand up. He believes. He believes this. And I said, Ron, he's just never done anything like this before. I would have never pegged him as he would be the one to deliver this message. But he delivered this message. And I said, and you said, you'll see you're wrong when the test results came back. But now we got the test results back, and it says you're well. That your balance is back. And she said, I can't, Dad. I said, honey, you need to try by faith. You need to believe. Because you can be laying there for a long time believing that you still can't. But if you try, if you get up and try, and she said, I can't, I can't. But I left her alone. I said, listen, you just pray about it. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to go to work. You just pray about it. And Stephanie was all gone in Bible study. We left her home alone. And I get a phone call about a half an hour later, and she said, Dad, guess what? And I said, what? She said, I'm talking to you standing up. I said, awesome. She said, and I walked across the hallway by myself. And I said, well, how are you feeling? She said, I feel weak, but I could do it. I could do it. I said, honey, you're going to feel weak because you've been laying down in a bed for 6 weeks. I said, but you can do it. And the process of belief. God did it, but she had to believe it. And I'll tell you what, I know that she's seen something in herself through this. And she's only 13. To get this lesson, to remember this, I mean, this will be a testimony in her life of this. Things that we read about Peter not believing and needing to believe. She has a belief story. She has a testimony in her life. But for me to realize that it's the key to everything. That's why he says all things are possible to him who believes. Because when God gives the command for you in life, the issue isn't whether God has given the command or whether God will do it. The issue is whether you will believe it or not. That's a powerful thing, to realize that God has proclaimed things. God has already given commands. God has already given promises. God has already stated His case and given it to us in writing to believe. And what happens is we shortchange God. We make the command of no effect when we doubt. As I said, God gave the command to Peter. What changed was not God, it was Peter. And my friends, what changes us is belief. We already have the commands.
We already have the promises. We already have the knowledge of God. We already have the faith. God wants to do amazing and mighty things. And what happens is we look at our circumstances and we doubt and we have fear and we give up on the God who created the universe. I have a question for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God exists? Do you really? Do you really believe that He made the universe? Do you really believe that He made everything seen and unseen? Do you really believe God made you? Do you really believe He knows what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts? Do you know that God knows? Do you believe that? Because what changes life, what turns the world upside down, is faith. It's belief in Him, in the reality of God, that things will be changed, that things will be different for us. There is a working of faith that God wants to have take place. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. You know, men of the world, men of success in the world, they figured this out. They've learned how to tap into a part of this, of belief. You know, that's where the positive thinking movement came from, right? The positive thinking, there's a book, Think and Grow Rich, and Dale Carnegie, and you know, there was a whole mindset of this positive thinking. You realize it's tapping into the law that's there, that what you believe, you know, what does it say? That what the mind conceives and believes, it can achieve, right? Mind believes and conceives, it can achieve. There's a law in this. But I'm talking about a higher law that's dependent on a living God. Not just on some principles you can tap into, whether you're good or bad. I'm talking about the living God and having belief in Him. And what God can do. Notice in chapter 5 of Romans in verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Are you justified? Are you justified? Are you just in the sight of God? Now, I know a lot of people that struggle with this day after day after day. The doubt. The doubt that they're justified. The doubt that they're accepted by God. The doubt of, God, what do you think of me? Do you like me? Are you interested in me? Do you hate me? What do you think of me? You see, sometimes the circumstances of life are so painful to us that we can't believe it could be any other way. Remember Jesus' ministry? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to release the captive, to set them at free, to heal the brokenhearted. You realize that pain of life causes a lot of heartbreak, doesn't it? You get this heartbreak in your life. You get hurt by things, and you start to think this is the way it is. People hurt you, and they cause you pain. You start to think this is the way all people are. This is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it's always going to be. And you can harden yourself to life thinking that this is the way that it is. And you don't give God a chance to heal what He wants to. And here's the thing. Do you believe Jesus can heal your broken heart? Do you believe that Jesus can touch you in the sorrows and the depressions and the hurts? Do you believe that Jesus can set you free from sin? That He can wash you? Do you believe that Jesus can pronounce you righteous? Because He already has. To anybody who comes to Him. You can read it all in this book. It's to him who believes, though, that it makes any difference. You see, if you keep saying, I can't, I'm not. Who am I? What am I? If you keep looking at who you are and addressing your own conditions and circumstances in life, you'll never see the glory of God that He wants to reveal in your life. Because it only happens when we believe in Him. And you know, the difference between being with God and not being with God is a matter of belief.
For Bronte, the difference between not walking and walking was a matter of belief once she had been healed. Many years ago, I went to Argentina, and I went to a hospital, and they had set it up so I could come and pray for the sick, and it was amazing what God was doing. There was four of us there praying, and I remember when I walked in this one room, and there was this little baby there, and I said through the translator, what's wrong? And they said, the doctors don't know, but our baby's been crying for 3 days. Just crying and crying and crying when I was there. We just laid hands on her and just asked God, please, touch this baby. Whatever's wrong, they don't know, but you know. Give this baby comfort. Give this baby healing. And as I laid my hands on that baby and I was looking at that baby just stopped crying. I don't think I'll ever forget that. Because it was so tender in a moment to see a little baby who the mom's right there standing there not knowing. She wasn't even consoling her own baby anymore because the baby, she said, had been crying for 3 days. To see a baby stop crying. And to see the mom like, so what's going on here? God does amazing things. But you know, I went down the hall and the last person I prayed for was an anorexic teenager. I walk in and I see she's laying in a bed and there's a big hump and she's got the covers pulled up to her shoulders and there's a big hump and I said, she's anorexic. I'm like, she looks like she's kind of overweight, actually. And I was looking confused and she saw I was looking confused and the people saw I was looking confused and her mother was sitting there. They throw the covers back. She's got two pillows where her body should have been. She's like a rail. She looks like this. She looked like an ironing board, I kid you not. Just laying there. She was just all bone and skin. She was in a hospital because she hadn't been willing to consume food for so long. She was going to die. And I asked her, I said, why aren't you eating? She said, I'm so fat. I said, honey, you're not fat at all. She says, yes, I'm huge. I can't eat. I'm so fat. I'm so fat. She just kept saying this over and over to me. You know, I spent a long time counseling with her and talking with her and praying for her. But you know, I didn't realize it then. I didn't realize it till much later that I couldn't make her believe it was only something that God could open her mind to see the change, to believe. She had to come to the belief, no matter how much I tried to persuade her, she wasn't fat. I could show her the evidence. It was just like with Bronte, she had to actually believe that she wasn't fat to start eating again. That's how belief can change your life. It can be one of the greatest positives, or it can be one of the biggest negatives. Because the power of unbelief, the power of rejecting the truth can be just as powerful, can bring upon us destruction. Notice what it says here in 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And in verse 9, notice, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You hear that? Lying. Lying signs and wonders. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And this is speaking of the end of the age. You realize as the world waxes on, the cause for more and more unbelief is upon us. The cause of more delusion is upon us because the world has not embraced the love of the truth. And it is our calling, our job as the church of God, to call out to as many as we can to say, here is the word of truth. Come believe. Come believe. Because he who believes the word of truth receives the things that they ask for. Notice in Luke chapter 8, very familiar story. Luke chapter 8,
Do you remember the woman who came and she came to the house of the Pharisee where Jesus was? And she just came in and she was willing to be over Jesus and anoint Jesus and kiss Jesus' feet. And she was with him. I get the chapters wrong here. Yes, I did. Seven. Okay, thank you very much. Chapter 7. As Jesus was coming to this... woman, and he said, look, you haven't done all these things. The Pharisee, you didn't see your need. You didn't see your need, and you didn't have faith. You didn't realize that I'm the Messiah right in your house. And I was able to do all these things. You didn't greet me. You didn't kiss me. You didn't put your faith in me. But this woman, though, yes, she's known as a sinner publicly, that she has all these problems. What happened to her? What happened to her? Notice how it finishes up. Verse 47, he says, therefore I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus was able to forgive the sins. But her faith made it a reality. Friends, you know what happens to us? We sin sins that we think are unforgivable. We have people sin against us in ways that we think are unforgivable. And the result of either sins that we can't forgive ourselves for, or sins that we can't forgive others for, keeps us in bondage day after day after day, and we don't ever experience the freedom and liberty that Christ wants us to have because we're willing to say His sacrifice is better. You see, sometimes you can say, my sin is so big, it's so gross, it's so disgusting, it's so large. But when you look in faith to the sacrifice of Christ, you know what you see? That sin is little and puny compared to the power of the cross. And just boom! It can smite that sin out like it's nothing. And people sin against you and you realize you want to hold these things, but all it does is create bitterness and anger and resentment. But when you look in faith, you can just release it and let it go because the sacrifice of Christ is so much bigger. It's like these little tiny pebbles up against these huge mountains. And the mountains are just like, that's nothing. You realize that's how big the sacrifice of Christ is to all sin? Nothing can compare. He was the Creator. His sacrifice covers it all. But the only way the sacrifice of Christ has any effect in our lives to forgive us and to heal us of our sins or the sins others have done against us is by believing. Do you realize that when you don't come to Christ in faith and believe this, when you hold on to the sins that others have sinned against you, that it causes this bitterness and resentment, when you don't allow yourself to be healed, when you say, no, this is just the way it is, this is just the way I am, that what you're saying is, Christ, your sacrifice isn't enough. Because the way that we're freed is by belief. And we're saying we don't believe it. I'd rather believe what I'm in. I'd rather believe that I can't. And the thing is, we can. Notice with me here in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. This woman came to Jesus with a daughter. She came on behalf of another and cried in 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She cries out after us. And he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. And even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. What did she have?
Faith and the command. Faith and the command. You see, if you believe and God gives the command, you're going to get it done. If God gives the command and you believe, it's going to get done. And so, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. The Gospels are filled with stories just like this, aren't they? The centurion comes. The centurion, he says, "Hey, I'll come to the house." He said, "Hey, Jesus, I'm a Lord, and I tell my servant to go, and they go and they do what I say. If you just say the word, my servant will be healed." And what did Jesus say? "Greater faith I have not found here in Israel." And he said, "As you have believed, so let it be done." He gave the command. The centurion came in faith, and God said, "Okay, as you desire, it happens." This is what makes for the impossible. God's command and a person's faith. Now you can believe all you want in something God doesn't command, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. But if you receive God's command and you receive and you have faith in the command, it will happen.
Praise the Lord.
Right? Whatever it is. Now here's something. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. We have a couple men, at least a couple men, are going out today. Who's going to go out today? Three? Four? Four men. Four men. Notice what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 14. It says, "Later he appeared to the 11, and they all sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart." And guys, sometimes we need to rebuke our own unbelief and hardness of heart before Christ. Analyze what you really believe. The world is filled with unbelievers, truly. But it's not to happen in this body, not in the body of Christ. We are believers. We are saved by faith. "He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned.'" Preach. Put it out there. You can put the command of God out there. You can put the promise of God out there. But each person is going to have to choose whether they believe or not. Believe. Verse 17, "And these signs will follow those who believe." So who is it that the signs follow? Let me hear it.
Those who believe.
Those who believe. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Those are Jesus' words. Now notice, do you have a command from Jesus? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. You have the command. "So said the Lord spoke these things, and he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord confirming with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen." Now when Jesus gave these instructions in the book of Matthew, he said this. He started it like this. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Therefore, go. I'll tell you what, anytime you go, don't go if you don't believe. Don't go because it's an emotional thing to do. Don't go because there's a peer pressure to do it. Because that, I cannot tell you, will be successful. But he says, go, and these signs will follow those who believe. Was Jesus right? Was it true? Was Jesus lying to us? So see, we have a choice, don't we, of who we want to believe. And the thing is, you might be saying, well, is that to me? It says, go, preach the gospel unto every creature, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. So when does the command stop? It doesn't. He said, I'm with you to the end. The command is still here. The authority is still here. The question for us is our belief here? And I think this is why Jesus has been having us fast and pray, and we need to continue to fast and pray, because He wants to restore a house of faith. We're little, we're small, right? That's perfect. We don't have much power. We don't have much might. That's perfect. That way we can never say it's anything of us. But whatever we do, we will shine our light as brightly as we can for the glory of Christ. We will put our eyes on Him for the glory of Christ. We will step out of the boat into the stormy sea because we put our eyes in faith on Jesus Christ. So don't go if you don't have faith. Don't go if you don't believe. But if you do believe, then go. I'd like the men who are going to go to come forward. If you would come forward. I'd like you to come up to the front. And I would like any who would like to bless me as the body of Christ to come forward to lay hands on these men. Almighty, sovereign God, before there ever was anything that we could see, You existed. It is of Your mind and Your word that we understand by faith that You made everything that we see. There is nothing that is beyond You. For You made the earth and this whole universe. You made the sun, the moon, and the stars. You are the God who stretches forth His hand and things are done. It is You who spoke through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the worlds were formed, shaped by You. It was You who sent forth Your Son, Jesus, to die for us, to give His life for us. It was unto Your Son, Jesus, that You said, come, sit at My right hand. And it was through Your Son, Jesus, that You called us to know You, Father, to know Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. And we look in the Word today and we see the command to go. We see that You have given us instruction. We see that as a body, we want to be and we desire to be obedient to You. You promised that You would be with us when we go. And so God, as You have led us by Your Spirit to see Your Word, to accept by faith the calling, the belief, God, as we gather now around these men, I pray that You reach out Your hands from heaven, that You lay on them a spirit of power, of mercy, of love that would come out of them, that would be undeniable, that You would strengthen them in faith and in hope, that You would give them the words of life to speak, that just by looking at somebody, that Father, Your power would fall on them, that they would see the change that only takes place because You are involved. God, we do not go out on our own strength or on our own emotion. We go out in faith, believing in You, the Creator of the universe, the Savior of our lives, of our very souls, the One who washed us from all of our sins, the One who cleanses us from all iniquity, the One who proclaims us righteous as ambassadors for Your kingdom. We go out to proclaim that Jesus, You are coming. Jesus, to proclaim that You are coming as King to rule again. Jesus, that You want to rule in the lives and the hearts of those, all those who will come to You and believe in Your holy name. And so I ask You to pour Your anointing on them right now. Pour Your anointing, a fresh anointing of Your Spirit for Garrett and for Raul, for Eddie, for Raul. Bless them now. May the love of the Father be upon all of you. May His love bind you together in strength. May His love give you courage. May His love give you faithfulness to Him. Let everything be done to His honor and glory. The Lord is with you. The Lord bless you.
We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your promise. And we thank you for granting us the knowledge of you and the faith to walk out in faith and believing in you. And now we pray that as you promised, you do your work as we go in faith believing you. We thank you so much, Holy Mighty Majesty. We thank you so much, Almighty Father. We praise you and bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.